Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you whisper.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed. Let's get started here. My special guest this evening is Truth Seeker, a very interesting gentleman that I think you're going to find not only enlightening, but very insightful. Stay tuned.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
According to my guest this evening, Truth Seeker, there are things that you can do on this side of the field that have significant reactions in the spirit realm. Exploring the existence of life beyond the mundane realities, his book will help you understand that there are doors or pathways which can be opened unknowingly. Truth Seeker is a Christian mystic, Amazon best-selling author, visionary artist, and seer. Also, a songwriter, Truth Seeker has released over 200 songs, each one relating to the subject of spirituality. His journey has brought him through research and experience with the occult, paranormal, Christianity, ufology, and the spirit realm. This has led him into many mystical encounters with God, angels, spirits, and many other supernatural beings. Truth Seeker has made it his life work to understand the spiritual realms and relate it back to people in a practical way. His desire is to help people embrace the reality of the spiritual world so they can walk in supernatural freedom in their lives. Please welcome tonight to my show, the one and only Truth Seeker. Well, good evening, Truth Seeker, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh, very talented gentleman. Excited to have you. And I just can't wait to delve into some of our discussions tonight, because we have a different kind of, I would say, kind of thought process here, or maybe not so different. And I think we'll learn that as we go along. Very interesting background on this man. So, Truth Seeker, one of the things I'd like to ask you just to start out with is, let's go ahead and evolve ourselves and let's start and go back to as far as you can remember and tell us where your life in all of what you do began.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's a great place to start. And I usually start there anyway. You know, we talked a little bit off air about sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
And I really trace everything back to an encounter that I had when I was around 4 years old, waking up in the middle of the night with beings in my room, laying on top of me in the middle of the night. And I don't know if I was too afraid to speak. I don't know if I couldn't speak. I know I was too afraid to. These huge shadow beings pinning me down to the bed. And I didn't want to move or cough or anything like that, because I didn't want them to know that I was awake and I saw them. So as I begin to get a little bit older and just, but even in adolescence, I think that that encounter led to the different movies that I would watch and I would be drawn to, with sleepovers with my cousins and friends and stuff like that. Always going to the horror and always going to the paranormal thrillers and stuff like that as a young kid, and watching all of that stuff. So I think I started asking the bigger questions early on, you know, asking that at sleepovers, asking that, you know, telling the story around campfires and stuff. And then eventually you would hear people saying, yeah, well, my dad had it happen to him. And woke up in the middle of the night and there was this man or this creature in the room. And then, you know, as a kid, you're like, well, tell me more. And you hear different stories. So I trace everything back to that, like why I'm in what I'm into and still asking those same questions to this day. What was that, you know?
Yeah. You know, I have heard one of the things that seems to be a common age, which is real interesting. I came into what I would say my awakening probably around age 3, 4, 5, where I started to realize that things were happening, that I was told by a psychic that she felt that I had already started having experiences at the age of 2. Now, I can't verify that because, I mean, obviously my awakening became at 3, 4, 5. But you bring up a good point because it seems like a lot of people that I talk with, they go back to those earlier ages here. But most importantly, what I think is what is on people's mind right now is that when you say you saw these beings, are you able or do you have recall regarding what you actually saw?
No, yeah. As far as what it looked like, it was silhouettes that were darker than the blackest spots in the room, in the shadows. So they were shadows that were darker than the rest of the shadows. I felt their presence on each side of me, pinning me down. Mm-hmm. But they were just like these big lumps and they would kind of move a little bit and just right on each side of my chest. So as far as seeing anything else, you know, and remembering it, I don't.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever express this to your parents at the time that you had this type of experience? And if you did, what was their reaction?
No, I don't think I talked about it until I was a teenager with my sister.
Okay.
And she started talking about these kind of experiences too. And I remember her telling me that she was talking to one of her friends late night one night, just talking about God and life and weird stuff, you know. And she told him about my experience. Yeah, my brother had this thing come in the room or whatever. And she was just talking to him and he started crying like a little baby, started tearing up, getting choked up. She's like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
He said, well, I had the exact same thing happen to me as a kid, but I was too afraid to tell anybody that they'd think I was crazy or making it up or something. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I do talk about this stuff, because you hold a lot of that stuff in, you know. There's really no words for it, even at that young age. It's kind of like this thing almost in hindsight. You're like, hey, what was that? I don't know if that was normal or, you know, and there's a lot of things, I guess, when you're young that happen and you're like, hey, that's not normal.
Yeah. You know? When you watch or you get a chance to watch this program over, you're going to see in the beginning my life in about 2 minutes, and you're going to see where it began for me. And I always tell people when I was around age 3, 4, 5, I used to have dreams. And these dreams would be, they wouldn't be good dreams. They would be airplane crashes. They would be civil unrest. They would be an assassination. I used to see people getting shot in my dreams. And then I would see this stuff on TV the very next day. Now, back in my day, it was black and white box television, you know. And so I would be watching this as just a child, and you'll see the picture I have of myself on when you rewatch this show. And I used to think, wow, that's kind of weird. I just dreamt of that. And then it happened over and over again. And then I started thinking to myself, am I causing this? And so I don't know. Well, I'm going to ask you about dreams. Did you ever have, when you have those types of experiences, did you have any dreams that you can place and make sense out of?
Yeah. I essentially learned how to lucid dream at an early age without knowing that it was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like catching yourself while you're asleep and say, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm in a dream. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to do that, then you're able to go and explore and leave your body and ask questions and things like that. If you're able to say, hey, this isn't real, I'm dreaming. I was able to do that at an early age, and it was tied into like all of the horror stuff that I was into, because I would have a lot of nightmares. Mm-hmm. But I think it was nightmares that I brought upon myself of watching all of these mm-hmm. you know, horror movies, Jason and Freddy, Critters, Chucky, like all of this stuff is I love nonstop. But then when the lights would go out mm-hmm. and it's time to go to bed, then it's like, oh, you know, now I'm susceptible to them. And if not in my bedroom, right, in right. your dream. So right. I learned how to be in the dream and be chased by these monsters and how to wake myself up. Mm-hmm. And it was to be run as, okay, you're in a dream, wake up, because if they grab you, you're going to have to look at them and they're going to torture you and all this kind of stuff. So I learned how to kill myself in my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I would dive headfirst at a rock, like running from them and dive into a rock so that it would jar me and just wake me up from the dream. So, you know, I got good at that. And mm-hmm. then so coming into, you know, more of the what you call psychic abilities or the premonitions and stuff, it just kind of easily transitioned into, you know, exploring in the dream realm, if you will.
Mm-hmm. What age were you when, well, first I'm going to ask you, how long did you stay? Does the house still exist where you grew up? Do people still live there? Do you ever go back? Do you ever have any issues when you go back? Or did you move out of that situation at a certain age? And so your time back there was limited. Let's start there.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't live there long. I have went back recently for the first time ever, really, because I was four when we left or whatever, mm-hmm. and just went back 2 years ago.
Yeah,
to see if it was still there and kind of thing. And yeah, it was definitely strange to revisit. It looks totally different. It looks a lot bigger in your mind when you're a kid, you know, and it's like it's really. Yeah, it was in the swamps of Louisiana.
Oh. So
in the middle of nowhere on this like peninsula mm-hmm. where there's nothing down. It's on a dead end. You got swamps on both sides and alligators and stuff. So, and that could have something to do with it, too, looking back at, you know, that kind of environment. You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I went back 2 years ago and got a picture and, you know, got to relive a little bit of, you know, my roots, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I was a baby. I think I left Louisiana at the age of maybe 8-9 months. We were in a place called Rose Pine. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Very, very small place. My dad was in the military, and that's what brought us down there. I couldn't tell you if I had an experience as a baby or anything, but I do know that I have investigated the Myrtles plantation and a few of the other plantations around the area. And I did have some, there's a vibe down there that seems very hauntingly I'm not going to say the word creepy. I love the Spanish moss on the trees I just love the look down there. And I like the weather too. But, you know, the thing is like where you were at though, and everything, would you say that there's a good portion of Louisiana in and of itself that seems to have activity?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just a lot of, land that's mm-hmm. it's just marsh, you know.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so there's a lot of stories of different types of monsters, if you will, or cryptids. And you know, the Rougarou is one of them. It's a big one there. There's so many different names for them. I remember even like it was so popular or whatever, or just so normal, let's say that.
Right.
Went to the zoo, the Audubon Zoo in Louisiana. Like you go around this curve and there's this huge swamp monster.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, I don't know, 8-9 foot, probably taller, huge monster, like holding up a kid by its foot or something like that. I don't know what, but it was just like really scary mm-hmm. creature that they have on display. And I remember going around the bend and looking at it. And even that like shocking me because there's scary music playing with it. And it's just this grotesque looking
mm-hmm.
monster. Like you can pull it up on Google and stuff, but being there and as a little kid, like it's, you know, it's larger than life. So
yeah
there's a lot of that lore and witchcraft and all of that stuff that's just in the atmosphere for sure.
Mm-hmm. Did you move out of that area to another state, or did you just go to another location in Louisiana?
Yeah. So at first it was just another location. It was, I guess a good ways away, probably an hour mm-hmm. and a half away. But yeah, I'm in another state now. I'm in Alabama.
Oh,
yeah. So whenever we moved, I still grew up in Louisiana, but mm-hmm. I've been here in Alabama for a while now.
Right. Yeah. So now that when you were a teen, and I always get curious about what people experience, because say when I was a teen, and even though these things were happening to me or around me or whatever, I would discount them even myself as like my imagination, or, you know, I need to go sit down and take a time out or whatever the case may be. But it as I've grown older and I got older and stuff, and I started looking back, I started connecting the dots a little bit differently. And I thought, oh, you know, this is getting a little bit out there. So at what point when you were a teen, at what point did you discover, I would presume you've got some gifts that have lit up inside of you, or you at least developed over time, where you started to recognize that maybe you have something that a lot of other people didn't necessarily develop. Can you speak to that a little?
Yeah, I got it. I got involved with witchcraft and the occult at an early age. I mean, you know, that's just the next step of being an adolescent teen and being into this stuff. And, you know, I didn't have the best upbringing and the best influences in my life. So I got introduced to it from the dark side, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, which I always call the low hanging fruits, the easy way in. Like, it's just, you can do what you want, you know, and live any kind of way and still try to tap into that realm. And so I got into that early on to start reading and studying and trying to hope that those things were real. And like you say, probably things I was already experiencing, you just didn't know it because you don't have a grid for it. And so the grid came later, but opening up doors, you know, into that realm. And I got to see some things, and I was still young. You know, I was like in between, I think I got into this stuff like at like 12 or something, just being fascinated. Wow. But then really 13, 14, 15 was when I dove all the way in and really tried to use my body as a Ouija board or something. Mm-hmm. It didn't end well. So,
yeah. You know, the thing is that, yes. Well, back in my day, at the age of 16, 17, talking about Ouija boards, nobody really talked about this sort of thing, but it was once in a while you'd hear something. And it was actually my teachers that went public with it, because they wrote an article about how their house was haunted and that they needed a Ouija board to be able to make contact with whatever they were experiencing in this house, which, by the way, turned out to be what they discovered was absolutely true. It had something to do with a little girl in New York that was dying of something, and she was like 5 years old, and it actually gave them an address, which was really weird. And so they decided to write this whole article, and it was my opening to saying, if they can write about this and they're credible teachers, then whatever I go through should be at least received as much. But, you know, it was the Ouija board back in my day. We didn't have all this other stuff. But when you're going at this in a different way, back in your day and stuff, are there things you can speak to as to what you experienced that seemed to either develop you more or evolve you more? Or you said to yourself, whoa, this is a little bit too much, I'm backing off?
Yeah. So I met a warlock who was just an older gentleman who was into magic and mm-hmm. witchcraft. And I was hungry for knowledge and how it worked. And I'd just pick his brain as much as I could. And he'd have parties and stuff at his house and let all just people hang out at his house.
Yeah.
So this older witch is like, you know, I got all these people over there hanging out and stuff, and I'm hanging out too, but I want to know about spirits. I want to know about how to cast spells and stuff like that. So you know, hearing his stories lit something within me. Mm-hmm. But it was an encounter that I had that I stole something from him, that mm-hmm. he had a protection spell on his belongings. Mm-hmm. That whenever something crossed his property mm-hmm. line, if somebody mm-hmm. takes something from him, that he had spirits that would go and get it and bring them back. And they would alert him and tell him and stuff. And so he ended up having this spell on his belongings from something that I stole from him. And me and my cousin encountered this being that came to pay us back and to scare us, if you will, and torment us for a while after that. And so that encounter for me was very scary, mm-hmm. but it lit a deeper fire within me to know that, hey, this stuff's real. Mm-hmm. And if he can do it, like you said, if they can do it, maybe I can do it. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to learn how to get good and summon entities that other people can see to go, you know, repay your enemies or something like that. And so that was when I dove into it really, really deep and trying to do every spell, every incantation to see which one was the real ones, which ones work. And I was, you know, 15 and coming from a lifestyle that was, you know, in gang activity, robbing, lying, cheating, stealing. And then you're doing witchcraft and trying to tap into the spirit realm, almost begging them to come in. So that was not a good concoction. Mm-hmm. So it opened up some things in my mind, portals in my home, where, you know, the beings kind of all came through at once and started tormenting me and pulling me into trances and speaking foreign languages. And I couldn't turn it off. And it led to like a really dark psychosis. So, you know, it's in those encounters. And if any of it you want to dive into anymore, I know I'm kind of throwing it all in there. But, you know, that's the gist of my story, you know, of why I'm doing what I'm doing today. Mm-hmm. I was at a place of rock bottom, needed help. And so called out to God, Christ, the light, you know, help me. I opened the door that I can't close. I didn't think any doctors could help me. You know, hearing voices and psychic abilities went from like zero to a million, mm-hmm. and you couldn't turn them off. And all the spirits knew that, you know, like, hey, we know that, you know, that we're here kind of. And it was chaos and it was schizophrenia and it's very scary. Mm-hmm. So that's my story. And I've lived to make it out of that. You know, a lot of people don't. So I'm very grateful. And, you know, I try to educate. There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. And it's definitely prefaced with the lifestyle that I was living wasn't conducive to, you know, trying to talk to any kind of spirit or something like that. You know, it backfired on me.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever told you that you're incredibly intelligent?
Sometimes. I get it sometimes, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm sensing this off of you right now. Very, very intelligent and very in tune with the things that happen around you. And one of the things you brought up is when you mentioned schizophrenia, by the way, it's not always schizophrenia. I'm very telepathic and I have psychokinetic and telekinetic abilities. And I'm clairaudient, clairsentient. And I'm also psychic at times, and I can do things that people can't always do. And so the thing is that when you go to a health professional and you tell them what's happening with you, and I bring this up to many people on the show, that you have to realize that when people are trained a certain way, even if they don't believe it themselves, chances are likely they will put a label on it, right?
Yeah.
And so I just had this discussion with another guest on the show, and I said, if I were to go and tell somebody, yeah, I can hear voices. I can't always tell if it's my own. I can't always tell, but it's very directional.
Yeah.
And so, and the direction is usually to my favor or to my safety, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it comes and goes. I don't, you know, it's not all the time, but maybe you can relate to this a little bit, that as we continue to open up whatever opened up in my mind, I blame it on trauma. Now, I don't know if you've been through any kind of trauma in your life that you would describe as something so shocking that you just, I don't know, the brain rewires itself to a different mode when that happens, and then it could potentially wire itself into a place where all of a sudden, like I always call myself a beacon, you know, like wherever I am, here I come. People know that every time I do these shows, there's something that's going to happen. You know, I just burnt out, I believe, two people's light bulbs on my last two shows. It's like, okay, if that wasn't me, that was coincidence. Okay. But it was kind of an odd coincidence. Let's talk a little bit about your evolvement here, a little bit, your evolving. So, how psychic, when do you feel you are psychic? Let's start with that.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you first recognize that you had some psychic abilities and you thought to yourself, no kidding. I mean, like, you know, really, that I just, you know, it just came right out of me or whatever. How old were you when that happened? Was that after you delved into some of this stuff, or was this before it?
Yeah. Everything again is in hindsight because we don't have the grid at the time, you know, just like, hey, I knew there was going to be a yellow car driving through, or I knew this television show was about to come on that I hadn't seen in so many years, or what these, there's little things like that, that I think that we've encountered. And I did my whole life. I just didn't put two and two together because we're looking for something like huge and grandiose to happen or whatever. And it is in the subtleties, right? It's in the nuances of how this stuff works. Mm-hmm. But so diving in like I did, and mm-hmm. it going from zero, or what seemed zero, to a million,
yep.
I kind of renounced everything. Because all of my involvement was evil. Like there was no helping people kind of thing. So I got into church mm-hmm. and got as far away from any of that as I could. I had PTSD from it. Yeah. Like I couldn't smell incense. It would freak me out. Like it would remind me of the demons and stuff. And so I couldn't hear certain music. I couldn't smell marijuana or alcohol. Yeah. I would go into a panic attack.
Right.
It was a long ways out of that. Mind you, I barely like made it out of this, mm-hmm. this weird psychosis. And so I had to shut every door, mm-hmm. stay in church, stay in the Bible, stay listening to worship music and singing to God. Cause it brought peace to me, like instant peace mm-hmm. from being from a place that was instant hell, you know? Yeah. So I would say maybe a year mm-hmm. you know, after that, and kind of like getting my bearings back and learning to retrain my mind and learning how to be a human and stuff, like mm-hmm. Maybe a year. I feel like God brought all that stuff full circle to show me like there's the right way and the wrong way to do it. And I begin to naturally, not forcefully, not buying all the books and reading them all, doing enchantments and throwing them out the window when they don't work. Yeah. Naturally begin to open the door of how it's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And you just in conversation, and there's an inner knowing, a divine inner knowing that, you know, you have your intuition, but then it starts telling you things about others that it's not like it's in a contrast from yelling mm-hmm. and 17 of them telling you different things about different, like that's what it was mm-hmm. versus like God and the Holy Spirit saying, hey, this person has been through trauma. You mm-hmm. need to give this person a hug. Just tell them I love them. Like little things like that. And it would cause a reaction. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the door began to open up full circle. And I would know things about people. And it wasn't like scary. It was all peaceful and loving. And everything came full circle. And I got to see it in the Bible and see the prophets and the disciples and Jesus and how they were into all of this, like going into trances and stuff like that, and angels coming to them and telling them what they're going to do the next day, mm-hmm. coming to them in the dreams and all of these things that I guess I was going about it the wrong way. So that stuff began to come back into my life mm-hmm. that way. So that's when it really got real for mm-hmm. me. But over the years, I've been able to look back, you know, of my adolescence and little things that were like, you know, hoping would happen or speaking into existence. And then they happen, little weird things that when you're young, you're like, hey, that was cool. Mm-hmm. But you didn't put any, you know, stock into it. But now I look back as I comb over my life and just see how God's always been conditioning me to be one who carries this and is able to help people.
Well, the other thing that goes on that I'm thinking about here is, you know, you're definitely a citizen researcher, if not more, a citizen researcher. I'm a citizen researcher. Basically, I go in and I can feel the presence of energies through my body, mm-hmm. Just to see if there's a presence. And if there's anything in a dangerous situation, usually my body reacts in a different way. And I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. Right. But you were in survival mode most of your younger life. And so whatever you went through, believe it or not, there's many that might consider themselves that have kind of fallen off the bench, but who is to say what the bench looks like? I mean, some people are out, they have to survive. So in order to do that, they do X, Y, and Z. But what I think most people admire of you, and for those of you out there who's meeting this gentleman here for the very first time, he's got an awfully large following and has done remarkable work in his life by understanding where he's been and where he's going. And maybe it's still wondering where you want to continue to go from this point forward, right? Because sometimes we can't see our higher mission or vision. Have you been able to determine with all the good work that you've done since kind of just turning your life around just to feel better, let's just put it to you that way. Not that it was worse, but you had to feel better. And you're still here and you're here for a reason and you're in front of an awful lot of people. What do you think your mission might be or purpose, at least at this point right now? Because that can change. What do you think?
I can sum it up just by saying that I know that I am to be what I needed, you know, in my adolescence, in my younger years, like, you know, the questions that I had, so for me to maybe try to look into the camera and answer, you know, some of the questions that I had at 15 or 16, that's definitely the mission, but also the questions I have had last week, mm-hmm. you know, because it's that too, just to know, you know, to be in tune mm-hmm. with yourself.
Yep.
Because you're feeling the collective,
mm-hmm.
you know, these right. things think that you're going through by yourself. There's so many other people. Again, like my sister told that story to that guy and he was like, oh my God, nobody's ever, I thought I was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I found to be very profound, but it seems cliche. You're not alone, man. Just know you're not alone. That's freaking huge for people because we feel alone. We right. feel abandoned. We feel right. like nobody's going to understand if I tell you, you know, you're going to laugh at me or think I'm crazy or try to have me committed or whatever the case is, or I'm going to run my friends off because you guys, you know, I believe differently than you. Mm-hmm. So I try to be a beacon for that. Mm-hmm. And to challenge I like to challenge the religious community just not to be so dogmatic about their wording and phrasing when it comes to psychic abilities, ESP, all of these things we've been talking about, because it's all biblical. It's in every holy text.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a respecter of persons. It's the language that has kept us separate. So I like to use all the language
mm-hmm.
because we can, and mm-hmm. because it can help you like explain things a little bit more. If you look into ESP or mm-hmm. a prophet, right? Like there comes a time where it'll help you a lot because you're not going to have the words and the know-how to do it unless you look into Eastern mysticism or whatever. And so I like to be that beacon of one who has been out there, followed my heart, my intuition, and it's working, and still be a Christian, still be one who is, you know, just as madly in love with Jesus as I was like at my lowest, you know, because the knowledge and all of the deep study that we do of antiquity and ancient, really all of the stuff, which we should, right?
Mm-hmm.
Usually you have to forfeit your intimacy, your relationship, because it all becomes head knowledge, mm-hmm. all of the head. And we know philosophers, we know religious people who can cite all of these things, but they're citing it from here. Mm-hmm. And I want to be one who is able to connect the mind and the heart, so we can go deep into the philosophy, into really far out things, not judge, not demonize, but to feel the room, mm-hmm. to feel the intention of who that person is and where they're coming from, whether they're different or the same. Double down on the different on what's the same, because mm-hmm. we know we've got differences. Mm-hmm. So that's been my calling for sure, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And it gets me in trouble many times, but it puts me in front of the people who need to hear me, you know?
So I was at a conference this, and of course, by the time this airs, the conference would have been over for probably months, but I was at a conference, let's put it to you that way. And there was a woman who was in the audience, and I was up on a panel, and she had asked and said the same thing that I'm sure you've heard indirectly, I have heard for, and including Liv, all the time. And so what she was saying was, I try to tell people about my experiences, but nobody seems to believe me. Okay, so, you know, right away, you could just see ding, 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 all of a sudden tickling my ear, because we all know where this is going, right? And so one of the things is, when I grew up, the only thing that I had available to me as a tool of faith or whatever was the church. And that's how we all grew up. We went to church, you know, we learned what we need to learn depending on the type of faith we were in. And that's, by golly, where it's stuck right in you, right? So then as time goes on, and then you start to question, is there more than just that? So when she was saying the things about, no one seems to believe me, they don't want to believe me. So I had to break in with the, well, maybe they have a different value system. Maybe they grew up a certain way. Maybe what you're talking about reminds them of demons being around you, because a lot of these things, even my best friends, by the way, they don't watch my programs. We don't talk about this when I go out to have dinner with them or anything, because this is an off subject. But I did tell her one thing, and I said, I want you to remember one thing from me. There are many groups of people that have shared experiences in this life. They can relate, they find each other, they can talk to each other, and they feel comforted by the fact that they found somebody who will not judge them, right? So I just said, take a look around you right now. She's sitting in probably a group of 100 people. I said, "But dear, you found your people. We are one, we are the people." Because it sounds kind of cultish, but not really, because it's not like we all have the same experiences. But I was trying to impress upon her, you can't change a skeptic's mind. You can't. You can try, but unless they have a profound experience, you're not changing it. And even then, they'll debate you on it. Yeah. So the thing is I think you're on the same path as I go on a different path, but you're on the same path. It's not like we're trying to convince anybody of anything. It's almost like we're adding to the language some more elements to think about if they're willing to allow that extra thinking to come into their life. Does that sound kind of familiar? Have you met a lot of people that when you try to embrace this and tell them things, they're either going to hold up the stop sign or they're going to maybe think about it? What's been your experience like?
Yeah, no, that's a big part of the religious community. I will say that there's a huge part of it that's opening up. I mean, they've always been those who were into it, but now, because of the internet and because of programs like this and people sharing their story, now they're feeling more comfortable either to explore or not I see. Yeah, it is the same thing. Yeah. Or looking up the Greek words and stuff. It's really fun stuff to show you energy and healing and all of that kind of stuff, like in the Bible. So that's really cool. But yeah, there's the religious community who just really repeat, you know, what they've heard. And for me, it's I guess I was there before, and there's a lot of people there. But you know, they're only doing what they know to do.
That's correct.
They don't have a grid. There's no way that you can understand, you know, any of this, unless you experience it. But everything is like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can try, you know, kind of thing and be sympathetic and stuff and study and learn. But it's one thing to read about angels your whole life. And it's another thing to have one standing in front of you shining and you can feel its energy. And then here you are to go back and explain it. Now, when you go read the Bible, you have some context. Wow. Now they're talking about the nuances and you know, the energy is increasing. And maybe that's why the light bulbs were burning out, you know, as you were connecting with people over a Zoom call, you know, so the conversation's a lot bigger. And if we get people to see that, because we all feel like we got it all figured out.
Right.
And most people who, you know, they don't by any means. There's a quote that says, the most wisest people on the planet have read thousands of books, and they find out that they don't know anything.
Right.
And then on the other hand, the people who have read one book, especially the Bible, they feel like they know everything because they read this one book. So there's no context and no culture, but you know, it's that, just love for information, love. We have more context. It's, oh, I see what you're saying. Wow. Yeah. I can see that. It goes a long way. Again, that's what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a religious, you know, Pharisee or know it all, you know, and that's what people need from us. And I've been able to help a lot of people, really convince them or tell them anything. It's not about that anymore. It's about showing them.
Right. Right.
Let me show you, you
what
know,
I see you in you.
Life. Show you with my love. Mm-hmm.
What I see in you and what I've seen in myself is I could not be doing this program or writing the books that I do or standing in front of people in an audience of whatever. If I did not somehow connect the dots by living it myself. Now, keep in mind, you're an experiencer. And you've really gone deep when it comes to experiencing, because you've gone to levels that no one will even touch, you know, not no one, but a certain population, they won't touch it, even though. So there's that, these are these different levels of understanding. And so let's just say you started learning pretty early your level of understanding, but it's not just learning about or going through the experiences that you've gone through. It's connecting the dots and making something out of it where you can actually understand perhaps the grief or the torment or even the happiness that somebody else might be going through, right? And for somebody, there's a lot of, I called them this when I used to teach college, there's a lot of bubble people. And bubble people are those that are in their little box. And they're in their little bubble and they're not coming out of that box or bubble, no matter what you say or do. They're just like, hold up the stop sign. I'm comfortable in my little box and that's where I'm going to stay, right? Yeah. But there are explorers and you are an explorer. You're an experiencer. You're a citizen researcher. You're an extremely intelligent from my talking with you. And so you've gone through a lot, but you've been able to connect some dots here. And then from that, you're helping others by making connections with them in whatever way or whatever level they need to be connected at. And that's what I see of you. And that's why I think you've got so many followers and admirers, is the fact that you portray somebody who's not going to sit there and feed them a line, you know, and somehow you figure out how they might or ask the questions on how they might rethink where the direction they're going. Not that you're putting them in a particular direction, okay? It's not like you're influencing them unless they need to be influenced, right? If they need to be influenced to go in a better direction just for their own safety and their own health and all that, that's important. But how would you see your role then since you have so many people that do follow you, how do you see your role with these individuals when they reach out to you or they ask for assistance?
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody's in different places. And so you never know, like, you know, where they're at or, when you post something or whatever, and all that comes into my mind, like, because it's an eclectic audience. I'm not trying to offend anybody or leave anybody out or anything either. Yeah. But so there's that. And I love that. I love it. It's strange, too, because we do with having so many people, and then we do like an open like Q&A hangout session, like on our Zoom calls. We have like a membership thing, hangout every Thursday and every Sunday. And I have new people come in. And it's like, I really do try to like tap into the psychic sense of like, okay, who is this person? Why are they here? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Cause you don't know how they found your work.
Right.
Like I'm outspoken about, I wear a lot of hats. You know, is it the Christian stuff you liked? Is it the mystical? Is it the UFO stuff? Like, what was it that, you know, why are you here? And that's always fun. And it's even more fun to see the people, because I'm like, okay, what do you guys want to hear about? What do you want to talk about? And it's like, man, we love it all. Like, we love all of it. Like, you just be you and just do what you do. Because you're like, oh, how can I, you know, I don't want to be too preachy here or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Just be you. You're not too preachy. Good. Keep it up. Talk about the aliens. Talk about the angels. Talk about the demons, you know, and I don't demonize even the demons. Let's say that. Like, I don't, you know, I don't think demons are bad because they're demons, you know, or whatever. Everything has a job and a role. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a little harder for you to market that, because you got to take a hard right or a hard left on a lot of things to be a contrarian.
Yeah.
So when you're walking that narrow path, which is in the middle, you know, people write you letters and they ask you those questions. Hey, truth seeker, I woke up in the middle of the night. There was a being at my bed.
Mm.
What was it? I know so many people, many of them in the religious community, but psychic and spiritual community too. They'll tell them exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Right.
It came to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask. You have to. I can go down a long list,
mm-hmm.
that will never end of what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. There's an art to it. It's fun. It's part of who I am as a student continually, you know. And I think that's we want to provide solace and peace for sure. If some people are having, you know, uncomfortable moments or fear and things like that, but at the same time, not all angels look like beautiful fairies and light beings. Some of them, you know, maybe an answered prayer that was one of the rough looking ones who came, and they only come at night, kind of thing. So it opens up for a lot of exploration and dialogue that I think more people are willing to have now. Mm-hmm. You know, as more research is coming out, we're studying the ancient paths and things like that too. So I love it, and I love being that for people. Again, it's hard to sell that.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, hey, that was a demon. Let's pray against it. Make it leave. I don't know. Maybe it's an angel. Maybe we need to ask him to stay. You know, maybe he's just watching over your family and you just caught a glimpse of him, and he's pretty crazy. He's fearful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that there's room for that conversation. And there is now with me in the Christian lane too, because I'm a Christian, you know, and I'm not going to just say what something is unless I know it. I'm going to try my hardest not to judge anything and shut something down or open something up. I'm just able to look at it differently, you know, versus, again, that they want the easy answer. And there are never any easy answers. But yeah, we're getting at a lot now with different types of spiritual beings that are coming through, that people are waking up and seeing. And so even on a good thing, right, they know how fearful we are, right? You know, maybe the sleep paralysis, there's a degree where you're like, it's a blessing. You're not supposed to wake up and see me.
Yeah.
Like, go deep into, you know, delta sleep, get your rest, and let me do what I do. You know, just throwing it out there, this idea of people praying and asking God to take things away, take addictions, take sicknesses, take, you know, whatever it is. What if, like, we it'd be easy, just it's gone. And maybe it happens, right? But if I think if you're paying attention, you can, there's things that happen in the spirit world around you. Sometimes we catch them on camera. But what if the answer to that prayer is, okay, mm-hmm. I'm sending mine angel who comes at 3 a.m. He has a window of 1 hour and he's coming to remove this out of you. Mm-hmm. And because people are talking about seeing things, I've been studying a lot too in all of the ancient cultures, but octopus type beings with tentacles that are trying to suck things off of people. So obviously you wake up and see that coming at you. It's like, oh, it's draining my energy. It's a demon trying to kill me or whatever. It's like, you prayed that God would remove it. This is who eats sicknesses.
Yeah.
There are beings that eat dead things. And it would be one of these, like, so I'm leaning towards that is antiquity. That is every culture. And I think we're experiencing that now. And maybe it's an answer to prayer that we have these sleep paralysis and, you know, we're seeing these beings, you know, so protect yourself, pray over yourself. You know, I tell people this, try, you know, as far as if we have anything to do with it, something is, I believe, out of our reach, but try not to produce what they eat. Don't, like, there would be maybe some that they come to, they love hatred, you know, they love dark, evil things and they're drawn to it. They get the scent of it, and spirits, they can see your aura. They know what you've been doing. It's no, you can trick people. You can't trick angels and all of this kind of, and God, you can't. And so, because once you're doing things that project a good aroma, a sweet aroma out of you, off of you, then you'll start attracting other entities. We'll call them angels just because they're more pleasant looking or fun to be around. They're light beings or whatever the case is, but they all serve a purpose, you know? And so maybe it is the darker beings that come at night who prepare you and get you ready to ascend and make your way up this spiritual hierarchy that you came here to tap into.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Oh, I agree with you. Explain to people, if you wouldn't mind, what a seer is.
Yeah. So a seer is akin to a prophet in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Many of the prophets were known as seers as well. I would say essentially it's somebody who is able to see from an elevated position. So where, you know, we're down here with the people and you can only see what's in front of you. But then when you're ascending, or many of the seers would go on top of the mountains, and then you can see a broader perspective, and you can maybe see things that different perspectives that connect, that hold on, there's other people doing the same thing that we're doing because we're seeing from a place of elevation. And so, you know, that's a perspective, and it's needed. You know, it's definitely needed. It doesn't sound as, you know, super spiritual, but it ties in because it allows you to operate from a place of, hey, don't freak out. You're not the first one who's crossed that line. I could see many people. And mm-hmm. so that's a seer. And but it comes to help you on how you operate spiritually, how you operate as a prophet. You have prophets of doom, prophets of hope, you have psychics of doom, like, and it, you really get a lot of what's in the person, mm-hmm. you know, their flavor, what they've been reading, what they've been studying, who they think God is. The moment, you know, we would even have a conversation like this, cut you off up. That wasn't, they're going to tell you what your experience is and this need to project versus, hey, you know, maybe we should look at all, we should consider all the paths because nope, there's only one. Not from this position. I can actually see them. But while you're in it, you can't. So a seer is one. And that's kind of a newer thing for me. Definitely the very spiritual prophet-esque, right? One who soars, one who has soaring vision. Mm-hmm. But being able to see the connections. Mm-hmm. Being able to see the end from the beginning so you can position yourself to go where you need to go, say what you need to say, do what you need to do, knowing that it's all part of it. So mm-hmm. seers also akin to, I mean, how do you do that? Stargazers, right. In the Bible, they're big on the Zodiac and the Maseroth. So literally the word, if you look up the etymology in the Hebrew, it'll tell you that it's a stargazer. So if you're trying to see future events or see from that elevated place, you're looking up and reading the stars, and you can look and see, you can divine with second sight or clear sight, clairvoyance. So you can see clearly. So I think all of us operate or should hope to operate in it somewhat, right? Clairvoyance, mm-hmm. Seeing, hearing. I think we lean naturally to certain things that some of us can smell, some of us can see, some of us hear. It all works differently, but when we come together, we can really see how, you know, why we're needed. And that was always a cool thing in the scriptures, because you would see them all together. Mm-hmm. You would see the different, it wouldn't be just the one person who's like, yeah, I'm clairvoyant, clairaudient. We operate in many, but when you have somebody who's given their life into study and seeing, somebody's given their life into study and feeling, and they can tell you all, just be still, wait for something. And then when we come together and operate that way, that's what we're seeing now. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just in one religion, because we throw that out the window, really. You know, the religion is love. The religion is peace, is unity. And if you speak that language, then we are the same mm-hmm. religion that has no name. Mm-hmm. Just is what it is. And it's been beautiful to see that in diversity of everybody's gifts coming together as one.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar at all with the terminology or the term starseed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you believe you're a starseed?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I believe I am. And maybe all of us to a degree. You know, I believe our spirits came from above. It's hard to say for any, I don't want to, you know, put that blanket statement and say we know who everyone is, kind of thing. And but we can tell a good bit. Mm-hmm. You know, people resonate with it, and there's a lot of proof that we came from above. I mean, that is even the story of the Bible, right? It's this. Oh, it's not just the Bible, it's all the ancient texts. I always want to say that, because it is. I study all of them. It's those who came from above and descended, and now they have physical bodies, right? So you have the sky father and the earth mother mm-hmm. coming together, and then we are the children of that, of mm-hmm. that sacred seed that's from the stars. Every religion will tell you that. That's how you get the Anunnaki. That's how you get the Greek mythology. That's how you get Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get Garden of Eden. It's all in there. Every single one you go to. So we, you know, those who came from above that are now on the earth, whether they fell, how and why, that's for the journey, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So now that we are at our time, unfortunately, I want you to tell people some of the things that you do and where they can find your work or find your music and or your workshops and all that. So take it from there.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We're doing a lot of conferences and retreats right now. Mm-hmm. So all of those are going to, there's new ones we're planning right now, but they can go to my website, truthseeker.com. Everything is there. The music, my book, podcast, meditations, all kind of cool stuff that I bring to the table. That's probably the best way. Go to the website or find me on social media. I'm on all of them. Truth Seeker on all the platforms.
Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for what you're bringing to the table as well, my friend.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network.
Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.